Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio and on my YouTube live channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Ensaroma. April is the first of two mineral months in this mineral year of clarity, confidence, and courage. With both the month and the year in mineral, you can be sure that April is full of opportunities to remember our highest purpose, rooted in the power of love. The religious holidays of Jewish Passover, and of course today is the Christian Easter celebration, the Day of Resurrection. So with them occurring this month, the energies also highlighted this month are about liberation. My theme for April is Core Wound Alchemy, and I'm providing four broadcasts and live streams to explain what that is, why it's essential to living your higher purpose, and how to transform your greatest wound into your greatest gift. Tonight, I continue with this theme, and I will by talking about the treasure in the wound. Now, for those of you who may be listening in or watching for the first time, let me give you a brief overview about Wisdom Walk. It is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support you in learning how to recognize and release any pain that may be blocking your ability to experience fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, I broadcast live on both Black Hole Radio and YouTube Live, unless I'm on hiatus or like last week, I had a power outage. And if for some reason you can't access the internet to listen or watch, you may also listen live to the radio broadcast, and or call into the show at this number. It's area code 563-999-3089. Also, the web link that you may get a hold of either through my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, or you may get it in an email, that link will become the archive link when the podcast is complete. So if for some reason you can't listen live, you can listen later. And of course, once I'm done with this live stream, it will be available to you on my YouTube channel for as long as the satellite works. But right now, I invite you to either sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Definitely today, I need to start off by honoring the ancestors. These are the persons whose shoulders we're standing upon. These are the persons for whom we are beholden to, for who and what we are today, because their lives have contributed greatly, not just in literally physical ways, I'm talking about DNA, but also, of course, in terms of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, compassion, and most importantly, love. And so I thought today on Easter that we could remember those ancestors. And remember, they don't have to be blood related. It can be figures from history or celebrities that really, really incite you to believe the truth of who you are. But to think about who are those people that really inspired you to learn that there was something more for you to know about how the universe works. To put it simply, I'm going to share with you quickly my memories of my Sunday school teacher, Miss Norma Mathis. So Miss Mathis was a single woman. She'd never been married. And she decided that the children in the neighborhood needed to have access to Sunday school. And so Miss Mathis would get out her car every Sunday, and she would pick up folks from up on the hill. That's what we lived. And there'd be about, let me see, definitely me and my brother and sisters, three of us, four, five, six, I don't know, maybe eight, nine, ten children that she would have in this car. And she would drive us down the street to the Bethel Church. It was a Methodist church, had a big red door. I think it's still there on Staten Island. I'm pretty sure it is. It's the edifice is still standing. It was a big red door. And we would get out of that car and go down into the basement. And in that basement, Ms. Mathis would give us access to Bible stories. And we would do all different kinds of things where maybe we'd be coloring one week, or maybe she would just tell us a story, or we'd act out a play, something. But we were actually learning the stories of the Bible. And Ms. Mathis also every year would take us to an amusement park, and at that time Palisades Amusement Park over in New Jersey was still up and running, and she would take us over to Palisades Amusement Park as an annual trip. And what I am so grateful for from Ms. Mathis's commitment to give us children this access. And it's interesting because we didn't go to church. We didn't do the church service. We just did the Sunday school and we came back home. I'm so grateful to have learned the stories from the Bible on those Sunday mornings. They have served me very well because I truly believe that any form of storytelling is one of the most powerful healing modalities on the planet. And I do refer to them a lot when I teach in some way, shape, or form. I'm going to snap something over here that happened to Jesus or something about Job or something with Moses. You know, I'm going to be grabbing stuff. And so I just want to honor the Miss Mathises of the world, those persons who take out time to really help children learn that there is a greater order and direction. There's something more for us to understand about who we are and where we come from and what it's really all about. So join with me, if you will, to speak the name of who that person was for you. And again, it didn't have to be Sunday school, but just somebody that, you know, really helped you kind of expand your understanding of life and who you are and, you know, give you access to spiritual knowledge and information. And who was that person? Again, like I said, didn't have to be somebody you know. And I'm going to say a prayer, Easter prayer, out to those ancestors. So join me if you will. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, All the One, All That Is, thank you, thank you, thank you for your blessing and mercy in our lives and for yet another opportunity to be here and to be so in gratitude of those persons who helped us connect with our higher self. Calling up those ancestors, those wonderful ancestors who were able to give us access to information, to wisdom, to stories, and to just a loving presence as we were able to connect with something greater than ourselves. And so I call on those ancestors like Miss Mathis, and I ask and I thank you for continuing to whisper the stories into my ear, to continue to open the way for me, to always remember that there is a greater order and direction for me to turn to, that I never have to stay stuck in my own egoic negative belief system, that there is a way out. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for coming and supporting and just being around me and all of the people, all of us in our lives, to be have those ancestors working for us to keep us on the high road. And again, Creator, I thank you. I thank you for the blessing of the ancestors. In the name of all that is holy, I speak the name of the Yeshua, the Jesus Christ, and the Mary Magdalene, so in honor of the divine feminine and sacred masculine, conjoined on the earth plane at this time in many, many, many beautiful ways. And I say amen. Ashe Ho'asash, Gabbis Nivan, so it is. Ashe. All right. So, to kick this off even more, I'm going to share with you the elemental wisdom for this week. Not a lot happening astrologically. We get a little break, but I will just talk briefly about the full moon that we just had because it was really powerful. So elementally, and again, I definitely promise to do some videos that will be on my YouTube page that give you background about the Dagger Medicine Wheel, what the elemental wisdom is, so that if I don't give you that orientation every time I do this, you have a way that you can go back and find out what it is I'm really talking about. But the elemental wisdom is so wonderful. It's a wonderful guidance for us. So as we walk this path of conscious awareness and self-mastery, meaning that we are not giving our lives over to being victims, to being at the mercy of our negativity, that we can find a way out Our elemental wisdom is part of that. It helps us just be more conscious about what is the energetics going on so that we can be more prepared to respond versus react when negativity and challenges show up. So this Tuesday, and Tuesday being the first of day of the elemental week, because Tuesday was the day that started off our new year, January 1st was a Tuesday, we will have a nature week on the 23rd, and that'll go until Monday the 29th. Now, here are the opportunities and distractions involved with this wonderful, wonderful nature week. The whole idea here is to be flexible, to trust your process, trust the process, surrender your attachment to your plan. When we make up what we think is the best way for our dreams to come true, we are sure to be disappointed. Jan Levin has said, if you want to hear God laugh, tell God your plan. Trust that the universe, with its unknowable ability to make things happen in the right way and at the right time, trust that it is more powerful than your brain or that of any other human. Want it to be right for you more than just wanting it. Let go of trying to figure it all out. Do what is right in front of you to do at the present time, and know that more will be revealed. Connect with the magical and tricky energy of the nature element, whether it is in the form of plants, trees, flowers, animals, or humans, to help you accept the greater order and direction you are being asked to experience. Yeah. So it sounds like a week of surrender to me, flexibility and surrendering, trusting the process. Now, whenever there's an opportunity, there's always going to be a distraction, something to pull us away from that. And here are four of them that I want to alert you to. The first one is about being arrogant and or stubborn. You know, this is where you're staying in that. But I know. Or I have to know. I need to know. No, just let it go. It's not worth it. What the universe has in store for you, you can't even imagine. Can't even make up. And even if you feel like you know about it, open yourself up to the actual experience of it, you know, because there's a difference in that. Another distraction is attempting to change a no into a yes, okay? In other words, when you get that sign from the universe, like, bam, no, and you've given yourself three opportunities to see if it'll change, I would give you that, but after that third time, let it go. There's something more that's coming. Another distraction, perceiving things as win-lose. You know, that's that belief that the world is a battleground. Yeah, let it go. It will only take you very much off course. It's more important to accept that things are going to happen exactly the way they're supposed to, even though you may not understand it or be able to accept it even at the moment. But just to remember, there's a bigger thing going on, always, always, always. Another one is despairing and trying to go back to the place you know best, also known as trying to squeeze back through the hole. So if you are getting a sign of something being no or being held up even, don't let go of your hope. Don't let go of your faith. Keep yourself open because you really don't know. So don't, you know, going back is trying to know. That's making it up that, okay, it's not going to happen, I'm going back. But you don't know what's going to happen. Because maybe the thing you thought was going to happen might not happen, but something else could be happening. So if you're going back, you're going to miss that opportunity. Don't go back. Don't go back. And last but not least, beating yourself up for a situation or end or outcomes that you have no control over. Yeah. You know, a lot of times most of the time we do things in order to get an outcome that we want. That's just the way it works, you know. We can say I want to selflessly give a present, but anytime I give a present, I want to hear somebody say, "Oh, thank you so much. Oh, this is so wonderful." We want that. That's like natural. We're wired for that. So when that doesn't happen, we can beat ourselves up. We can tell ourselves, oh, I didn't do it correctly. I was wrong. You know, we can go through that. Leave it alone. It's just not, because you have no control over whether or not someone's going to appreciate, understand, or like something that you say or do or give. No. Don't waste your time with that. Know that what was your intent when you gave it. And if your intent was to be loving and to be supportive, then that's the real treasure. That's the real gift in it. You don't need to have the person validate that in order for you to feel good about yourself. Yeah. Now, next Tuesday, April 30th, we'll begin an Earth Week. And, of course, I will share with you the elemental wisdom for that in the next broadcast and video. The full moon that we just had was really powerful. As I said last week, I knew people that experienced it as a new moon, and it was as luminous as a full moon. So when it showed up as a full moon, it really was really, really bright. I hope everybody was able to experience that moonlight. It's really powerful. And it was in a sign of Libra. Did have a full moon in Libra in March, which is very unusual for it to be in the same sign within a month's time. So what astrologers interpret that at is in March something started, and now here in April something completed. You know, it's a culmination of some energetics. So you just think back to what was going on in March around that time of the full moon and know that it's come to its conclusion. Now, the full moon in Libra with some other aspects that are happening up in the sky also brought up relationship issues and aspects, magnifying them. So that meant that there would be some tempers that could flare, minor irritations could be blown out of proportion. So just to stay in mind that that was all full moon madness. Things coming to light, sometimes things you don't want to see come to light, coming to fruition. And again, flexibility being needed, opening to the new, just like, again, the aftermath of the fire at Notre Dame. You know, everybody had to open up to, oh, well, we got to do something new here now because the roof is really gone. Yeah. So, anyway, we get a little break when we have a new moon coming up on May the 4th into the 5th. And so this week coming up, we are good. Tomorrow, April 22nd, is Earth Day. And, you know, that's something that just came about in, I think it was the late 60s, early 70s. And I think it's important to note, because God knows we really, really got to get it that, you know, we have the opportunity to work with the Earth. And we all know that there are things that are happening based on modern living, based on our use, our really exploitation of fossil fuels that really are not helpful to our planet. And so Earth Day is a time to really remember that it's not just us humans who are here, that there's also the plants and the animals and the other creatures, some are that are invisible to us because they live either down deep in the ocean or they live underground most of the time. We never see them. And so we need to know that, and we're not alone. And so we need to have at least one day, we need to do it every day, but at least there's some emphasis tomorrow on thinking about the planet and thinking about your role and how are you caring for the Earth. Are you recycling? Do you make a conscious effort to recycle? Are you thinking about having a car that doesn't rely only on fossil fuel, but is also a hybrid that uses electric? Are you ready to get an electric car? Do you have one? You know, all of that stuff, really, really taking a moment for yourself personally to see, what can I do to better take care of the Earth, to better conserve energy? All of that is important, and tomorrow is a good day to start if you haven't, taking it very seriously that we have to make some changes to exist on this planet, healthy and happy. The other thing I want to mention, because I am a big fan of the Marvel Universe, is that this week we have the Endgame movie coming out of the Marvel Avengers. This is the culmination of a 10-year process for the MCU. It's the first of its kind in terms of the superhero movies, but just in terms of the cinema itself, where you would have this MacGuffin, as Hitchcock would call it, and those are the Infinity Stones, traveling through all of these movies and being very important to the plot. So on Friday, we get to find out what is the final ending. So really excited for that. I'm right near Hollywood, so I am going to go down and peek at the red carpet tomorrow, see what I can see. Why not? If you're here, might as well do it. So let me give you a brief overview of what I want to now talk about with the rest of the time for this broadcast. I'm going to do a brief recap of the previous programs, which I think is important, so that the definition of core wound treasure that I give you, it's within a context you really can't understand it, because there's a lot that I gave out last week, too. It's really a lot. And then I'm going to give you some historic examples of core wound treasure, and then, of course, leave you with a personal challenge. My opening quote for this week came from this article that I found very serendipitously on through Google by a man named David Bedrick, who is a therapist. And he wrote a book called Talking Back to Dr. Phil, Alternatives to Mainstream Psychology. And he says, when we unfold the gift hidden in the wound, something magnificent flowers out of the healing process. The healing becomes more than resolving pain. It becomes a path to discovering who we really are and the blossoming of our greatest gifts. Very, very nice. Very, very well said. I like how he said that. Now, to jump back, I started off at the beginning of the month talking about core wounds, and I defined them as universal. In other words, nobody gets to be on this planet without one. Core wounds are unwanted, undeserved, hard to accept, hard to heal, negative, painful situations that occurred either in utero, in childhood, or adolescence. And they imprint an unconscious negative belief system onto our egos, onto ourself. Core wounds can take the form of an abandonment, physical or emotional, betrayal, all forms of abuse, confinement, birth traumas, birth defects, premature birth, serious illness, being wanted, being bullied at home or in school. And, of course, some of the negativity that it leaves behind is something's wrong with me, I'm not enough, I'm not worthy, I don't deserve, I can't, I won't, I shouldn't. Again, you just get caught up into a belief system that's so negative and can really, really hold you back from living on purpose and being the truth of who you are. And, of course, this all runs unconscious because as children, we don't have access to abstract thinking in the way that we do as adults. And so it takes living our lives to uncover that it is a negative belief system that is calling forth situations in our lives that could be repetitive, dead ends, not bringing any fulfillment, and no happy endings. So much so that there was a time in the 60s, I think, or maybe the 70s, when they were actually saying, oh, fairy tales are bad for children because they just lie and they ain't telling the truth. There are no happy endings in life. So that's how deep, you know, core wound stuff was running, you know. But that's not the truth. We can have our happy endings in life. And in fact, we're here to have our happy endings in life. So why do core wounds exist? Here's my thought. Our essential and highest purpose in life is to evolve our love consciousness, to become more loving than what we were when we were first born, if you can imagine that. For love to grow in this dimension, we have to experience its opposite. And so core wounds are kind of your price tag, if you will, to be able to learn how to really love, to be kind, to be gentle, to be compassionate, to be harmonious, to be peaceful, you know, to get to all of those higher level postures of who we are as human beings, we have to know its opposite. And that's what the core wounds provide us with. Now, we all have a unique journey for healing our core wounds. Nobody's journey is going to be the same, and that's the amazing thing about this. It can be similar, but your journey is going to be unique to you, and you have within inside of you everything that you need in order to discover what you need in order to heal that core wound and what you need to connect with in order to do that. So in other words, you are designed to be able to have this core wound, you know, be healed. I use the example of Helen Keller as one of the many examples of humans who made their greatest wound their greatest gift. But again, the universe and your life has been uniquely framed for you to unlimited opportunities. The universe will give you unlimited opportunities to heal, to grow, and to evolve away from that negativity of your core wound. That's really, really important to know, because I have come across people who have believed that they could never heal. They believe that the suffering that they're in is what they're supposed to be in. And that's not how the universe works. No, the universe is not stagnant. And our core wounds are obligatory events, things that we definitely have to experience, but we're not supposed to stay stuck in them. We're not supposed to live through them. We're supposed to move beyond them. And I can't say that enough, because if you don't believe that, you will stay stuck and you will be caught like on a treadmill, not able to move forward in your life towards fulfillment. I talk about good core wound alchemy because, to me, that is the promise of the fact that we can transform away from that negativity and from those ties that would bind us to a suffering, to, you know, a life of unfulfillment. And alchemy will show up when you're asking the question, why did I have to go through that? You know, when you ask that question, why did I have to go through that pain, that abandonment, that abuse, whatever the core wound is, when you're doing that, you're actually asking to learn about the treasure that you can receive from the wound. So the alchemy process actually begins from a questioning. Yeah. And alchemy is, you know, when I'm using it, I am relaying it to the alchemists of old, and these were people who believed that they could turn lead into gold through a series of very particular steps that got repeated over and over to get it right. And in the doing of that, they were capturing the energy of evolution. Whether or not they got to the goal didn't matter, because they were learning so much. Their real treasure was in what they were learning as they were taking on this, you know, impossible task of turning lead into gold. And so that same understanding is with us as well, because what we may believe we need to be in order to be okay, there may be something greater than that or something different than that. But if we take on the alchemical process to heal our core wound, we're going to get to our treasure. We're going to get to our treasure. And in the process of taking it on, it will definitely, definitely manifest. There's one thing that you have to get to in the alchemical process of moving that negativity that led into the positivity, into the love, into the gold, is that you have to disassociate with the lie of who you are. You have to disassociate with all that negative belief systems. And so doing that requires time, attention, patience, patient endurance, and again, a strong faith and a belief. And this is, again, what the alchemists had, because they were willing to take this on. Their whole lives were committed to this process of turning lead into gold. So I talked about core wound lead in terms of five major ones that I think every human will deal with in some way, shape, or form. And that is insecurity, believing the world is a battleground, self-sabotage, both from fear of failure and fear of success, solipsism, or functional atheism. This is where we believe that we're more responsible than God for taking care of someone or doing something right or whatever. In other words, we X God out, even though we say we believe in God, but we're still acting like we're totally responsible. And then the fifth one would be that addiction to victim consciousness, that needing villains in our lives, calling up unconsciously and sometimes consciously situations that have us be able to show up as somebody did something to me, there's something wrong with me. So that's the core wound lead. These are the things that really, really bog us down and keep us from fulfillment and happy endings in life, that keep us from living on purpose and sharing our gifts and our talents, or even believing that we have gifts and talents. Yeah, that lead will keep you even from believing that. So the tools involved in core wound alchemy are acceptance, forgiveness, self-mastery, and service. And each of those kind of is a framing around a whole experience that you have to go through. So in other words, you can't get to acceptance just intellectually. Now, intellectually, you can understand, oh, I need to accept my core wound. I need to accept that that happened. But how do I really do that exactly? That is a process, because it will be an experience of acceptance that you get. Same thing with forgiveness. Same thing with self-mastery. Self-mastery is not an intellectual exercise. You know, self-mastery is when I get in a situation and I'm confronted by somebody's pain and they are transferring that pain onto me, that I know how to turn the other cheek and leave it alone, that I don't go into reaction, okay? And so I have to be in the moment to experience that in order to be able to say, yes, I am mastering myself. And the same thing with service. I can know that I have a gift or a talent or believe I have one, but until I get that opportunity to actually put it into use, to put it into practice, to experiencing myself, making the contribution, then I can't really know that I'm of service. So again, these tools, right, are things that we have to actually experience, we have to live. And so there are steps involved in being able to actually deal with those tools, have those tools working for you. And so here are the five steps that I have identified. The first one is unbridled curiosity. You have to let go of arrogance and judgment and control and learn the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Conscious integration. That's taking time apart, getting still, to be rewired, to be awakened once you've gotten that truth that you didn't know before about yourself or about your situation. Disassociating from the lead, which is basically that forgiveness piece. It's releasing people, places, and things and thoughts that fed the lie, that had you being okay about being a victim. It involves, again, a forgiveness practice, meaning you don't do it just as one event, but it's like ongoing practice, day and night, sometimes every hour on the hour, setting boundaries, reforming relationships, and most importantly, being courageous enough to speak your truth. That's disassociating from the lead. Number four would be living the practice of self-mastery. As I said, it's a daily experience of the commitment to take on full responsibility for shifting out of fear and into love through introspection and conscious awareness practices. So turning the other cheek, being the peacemaker, that's a conscious awareness practice. Yeah. And then last but not least, living your higher purpose. Allowing yourself to experience your value by self-fully sharing your gifts, talents, and genius, replacing the leaded relationships and experiences with the golden ones. I'll repeat that. Replacing the leaded relationships and experiences with the golden ones by, again, using your gifts and your talents and your genius, releasing survival mentality and 3D attachments. And, again, your gift does not have to be what we think of when we think of a celebrity. a gift you may have is that you're able to every morning walk into your place of work with a smile on your face and make the people around you or the clients that come into your workspace feel good. That's a gift. That's a genius, okay? And so when you are able to do that, you're living your purpose. You're living your purpose because you can do that. So, and when you do that, you're getting to the goal. You're getting to the goal. Now, the challenges that I gave were, first one was about identifying that core wound so that you can work on shifting it out of its unconscious belief system. And I asked you to do some contemplation around the repetitive negative patterns in your life. What do they point to from your childhood, adolescence, or did you know something that happened while your mother was carrying you in her womb? What happened that was so painful that it shut down your heart or disconnected you from your divine self? Then last week, I gave you a personal ritual to do, a faith gesture to make, for acceptance and forgiveness, starting those two tools, and to jumpstart or deepen your alchemical journey. So for acceptance, you were to make a physical representation of your core wound. For forgiveness, it was writing a forgiveness letter to everyone associated with your core wound, including yourself, because children always blame themselves when something bad happens or something goes wrong. And then I also suggest that you use an ancestor altar and then burn your bundle in a fire or deliver it or offer it to a body of flowing water. Great. So now to this next piece in regards to defining what I mean by the treasure. The treasure in the wound, the treasure from the wound. And I want to start with really explaining from a more fifth dimensional, if you will, spiritual way about what the treasure really, really is, no matter what form it takes, but this is what it's going to be about. And I get this wisdom from my teacher, Maladoma Somme. God bless him and the Dagra people of Burkina Faso, West Africa, for their sharing of this wonderful information. So Maladoma says that your treasure from your wound is a blessing, but here's what a blessing is. A blessing is not a material thing. It's not prosperity or external wealth. And usually when we experience any of those things, that's when we say, oh, what a blessing, right? What a blessing. But the blessing, and especially in regards to the core wound, is much deeper than that. It's much deeper. It's not material. He says true blessings are internal wealth, the connection to one's soul, the capacity to believe that the world is out to gift you, not get you. See that? So in other words, the blessing is that I get access to the truth of who I am, to my divine understanding and power that I really know consciousness precedes being. So in other words, in order for anything material to show up, that prosperity, that external wealth, something has to be going on inside of me for me to be able to manifest that. And I have to believe that I deserve it. It's okay for me to have it. You know, in other words, that negative belief system is not in operation. So when we talk about the treasure of the core wound, we're talking about the blessing of soul connection so that the negative belief system is not in operation. Okay? Here's an example that Maladoma gave. This is a talk he did. It is online. And I'll try to find that link again, and I'll throw it up in the box below under this under the video, and I'll try to post it, too, on my Facebook page. But he talked about betrayal, and he said that, you know, when we get betrayed, we really get upset. It's you know, our heart gets broken. But he said betrayal is a blessing. betrayal is a blessing, and here's why. Because when you get betrayed, the person who's doing it is doing it because they know you're blessed, and they're not. And they're not. In other words, it's somebody in pain who is doing that, who is doing that. And so when you experience something like betrayal, and of course we're human, so of course our first reaction is going to be, I feel victimized. But what Maladona's talking about here, if you can shift your perception to it being a blessing, to it being a validation that you are connected to your soul, that you are grounded in the truth of who you are, and this other person was not, and that's why they acted the way that they did, because they're looking for blessing. They're looking for blessing, and they don't know how to get it. You know, so it's like turning the other cheek really means staying grounded in your truth. Don't give your power away by believing that you were the cause for the act of betrayal. He says, pray for the betrayer. They're in great pain, right? So if we stay in the victim place, we're giving our power away because if we're believing that we deserve that or we caused that or, you know, we attach ourselves to the lie, right? But he's saying with this, if you get betrayed, no, it's because you have blessing. You have blessing. I think this is such a powerful, powerful way to think about our core wound. Such a powerful way that it really is going to lead us to truth of who we are, to the blessing that we really have internally. So here's two historic examples, and these come from this article by the man who I got the quote from that I read to you. His name again is David Bedrick, and the article is Healing Our Wounds, Finding the Gold Within. Again, very serendipitously that I found this. Great. So two examples he gives are Maya Angelou and James Baldwin, two of my favorite ancestors. Maya Angelou, Sexual Assault and the Gift of Voice. If you never read, I know now why the Cage Bird Sang, shame on you. You need to read it. Get it on audio. It's classic. It's important. So after telling the truth that she was raped by her mother's boyfriend and the man was found dead a few days later, Maya stopped speaking. She believed her voice had killed him by speaking his name. She was sent to live with her grandmother, who held the space for Maya in a sacred way, trusting that Maya would find the gift in her wound. And Grandma just knew this intuitively. Intuitively, she got it. It would be 5 years before Maya spoke, and it came from Grandma urging her to deliver a poetry reading in church on Sunday. Since then, Maya has became one of America's greatest teachers through her public presence, her volumes of poetry, her 7 autobiographies, her speaking, and her tenure at Wake Forest University. So Mr. Bedrick writes this, I quote, in a way, Maya was right about her voice. It was indeed powerful. It not only played a role in her rapist's demise, but also continued to play a role in the life and empowerment of everyone who heard her speak. That is so the truth. It was as if her childhood psyche knew somewhere in its depths that she held that kind of power. It was as if she cooked that voice alchemically until it was ready. Yeah. Yeah, like really, really, really powerful. Next example, James Baldwin, Childhood Criticism and the Gift of Vision. As a child, James Baldwin's father teased him so badly about his bulging eyes that James lay on his back and placed coins on them to push them back in. Become one of America's greatest visionaries, along with being one of its greatest writers in the league of Herman Melville. And so here's what Bedrick wrote about James Baldwin. He says, However, the healing of his wound goes beyond bringing relief to his childhood suffering. A more whole healing requires embracing not only his story and childhood suffering, but also the gift hidden in those eyes. Baldwin's bulging eyes reached out not only literally, but also symbolically in his examination of America's racism, homophobia, and deadly innocence. His eyes peered into the dark, illuminating the shadows in the dimly lit underbelly of America. His eyes never veered from the truth, and they always emanated from the heart. The insult from his father met him right where his greatest gift was. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely amazing. So, as you can see, core wound stuff is framing your purpose in life. It is not something to be looked as, this should never have happened to me. It is not something to be looked on as ashamed, to be ashamed of, to have a yoke around your neck or be burdensome to you. Again, it is obligatory. It's something you have to go through. Just like Maya, you know, this was her mother's boyfriend. She didn't have a choice. James Baldwin, this was his father, didn't have a choice to feel that insult and to be shamed about the way he looked. So it was divinely orchestrated to frame what both of them eventually were to do in life and the gifts that they gave in life. Amazing. And so, like Helen Keller, again, you know, it wasn't her fault that after 8 months she went blind and deaf and dumb, you know. But it framed what she did for people with sight and hearing and speech impediment or loss that made a total difference. So, you know, again, these are very powerful stories. And like I said, our gift doesn't have to be something that will touch, you know, everybody on the planet. It might only be 50 people, but you know what? That matters. That really, really matters. So it's really important to understand that your core wound is not meant to keep you a victim to life or addicted to that victim consciousness. In that wound, there is treasure. But you have to go mind it. You got to go do some digging. You got to get those tools I talked about, the acceptance and the forgiveness and the self-mastery, you know, and eventually, of course, service, you know, knowing that there's something I have that I'm supposed to be using on a daily basis in order to make the world a better place. What is that? What is that? And if you're involved with something that you really do good, but it's not helping, it's something that is harmful, it's something that's detrimental or destructive, stop it. Stop it. Stop doing it. Because there is some skill that you have in doing that that you can shift around to be loving, to be generative. Yeah. And, of course, you know, I'm talking to y'all out there, like my guys that were involved in, you know, crime, and especially drug crime. It's like you don't have to stay in that. You don't have to stay in that. You can shift up and use those skills and talents that you have for something very positive and very loving. So know that. I can't emphasize that enough. Yeah. So here's my personal challenge. I'd like you to set an intention to have clarity about the treasure in your womb. Just set an intention. You don't have to figure out all the tools and all that stuff that I gave you. You don't have to take that on yet. Just set the intention that you want to have clarity about what is the treasure, what is the gift that I am holding as a result of my core wound. Allow yourself to identify at least one gift you possess, and this would be one thing you love to do, and you do it well in the service of others, okay? It'll be something that's really easy for you. You know, again, back to Maya Angelou, it became easy for her to do poetry and to speak. That was the ease about that, to tell stories. He's a great storyteller, just amazing. And the same thing with James Baldwin. It's very easy for him to see into the truth of situations. Like if you read any of his writings, oh my God, it's so, so powerful. Because he's seeing beyond what is on the surface. And it's just so powerful then how he writes about it. So it's something that's easy for you to do. So here are some questions. How are you using your gift? How are you using your gift? How are you strengthening your gift? How are you taking care of your gift and yourself? Because you and your gift are, you know, you're a team. Yeah, so if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not taking care of the gift, and vice versa. And I encourage you to write this out or speak it into a recorder, because it will be something that you can go back to remind yourself of the treasure from your wound. Yeah. And so I am going to close out for tonight on this beautiful Easter Sunday by, first of all, thanking my wonderful engineer, Miss Yvette Parker, and the entire Black Hole Be Well Radio family. Thank you, thank you, thank you again for supporting me in my work. Couldn't do it without you. Shout out to all the regular listeners out there and to Miss Sarah, who embraces each day with loving gestures. Loving gesture. She's in her 90s and she's just love, 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 love. To all of those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are. To my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters all around this planet, and those who are listening in or watching for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. I could not be here and do this without your support. Now, next week, I'm going to talk about the liberated heart. Yeah, that to me is like the culmination of why we do core wound alchemy. What is it we're wanting to really get to? What is it that the treasure gives us? And it's about the liberated heart. And I'll talk about that. Again, don't forget my Facebook Wisdom Walk radio page. And like I said, I will post some of the information on there. And, of course, my YouTube channel is Wisdom Walk 2 Self-Mastery. And now, last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Please have a wonderful rest of your Easter Sunday if you celebrate that. Or just have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. And do pay attention to the nature energy of this Nature Week and kicking it off with Earth Day, the home of nature. And most importantly, please remember, especially on this Resurrection Day, you are divine, you are not disposable. Good night now. Thank you.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.